Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon and good morning. This is Franklin Malone, your host of the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour. As many of you know, my co-host is my daughter, Lana Hallamarian Malone. She's on a hiatus right now, but will be back with us. Today we have a marvelous, powerful show as we're coming up around Father's Day. Our show is the theme of the program we're doing called Fatherhood, the Undeniable Gift. Any of you know in the scriptures, it says in Micah, it says, in those days, I will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children, lest there be a calamity in the land. There has been a calamity in the land, and we have an opportunity as fathers to change the lives of our families and children, to help young men who are lost, and to be parents to our children as real, authentic fathers. Today on this special show, I have two gentlemen who embody leadership by example. Each of them in their own right is a father in the lead in his community, in his state. First, I want to introduce to you a gentleman named David Smith Sr. Let me tell you his story. He is the vice president of the 100 Fathers, has been so for a long time, but his work supersedes his title. We met in Alexandria when I was working with a gentleman named David Levy, and Mr. David Levy was responsible for fatherhood visitation centers, something nobody has ever heard of. Where does that father go to visit his children when he doesn't have a place of his own, but he loves his children? And so we're continuing that fight. I want to tell you, David is the vice president of the 100 Fathers. He is also known as the Warriors Advocate. He advocates for children. He advocates for children's rights. He fights against suicide. He's a member of the Board of Education for Prince George's County, a liaison member who does their programs, services, and opportunity. He's a hard worker. He's a good father. But most of all, he depends on the fatherhood leadership team. He also has taken me with him to the State House, where we have passed legislation with the governor of Maryland to help fathers to get a better shot at being with their children. So I want to bring him on, and I also have Mr. Dwayne Meeks, author, fatherhood leader from Denver, Colorado. I met this man in California, never knew him from Adam, but when we met with our wives, we knew that we were connected to lead our communities with fatherhood. So I'm going to first interview David Smith, then I'm going to interview Dwayne Meeks, then we're all going to kick it together. Welcome, gentlemen. So, David, first of all, I got to tell everybody a story about Rashad. We had one of our guys who his wife wasn't treating him right. She said she was seeing other people. He got mad and punched the wall and tried to run out. She tried to get him in a fight, but he wouldn't do it. She reported him to the police as an abuser, but he never touched her. He ended up turning himself in and had to go to court. And it was David and I, along with one of our attorneys, who went in to get him out. These people said he's going to serve 12 years for battery. We said, and we looked at each other, we said, battering who? With what? Where's the evidence? There was no evidence, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something. With the consultation of David Smith, the 100 fathers, and the attorney, we got him out of there. All he had to do was go see a counselor. And the counselor said he didn't need anger management. And that was the end of it. Otherwise, he would have served 12 years. David, welcome to the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour on Sister Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. How are you today?
Well, thank you so much, Frank. It's always a pleasure, whether we're on the air or just kicking it side by side, to be in your presence. Your knowledge, your experience is a great asset, and you're not just a partner and a mentor. You're a great friend, and I always enjoy, you know, working
starting
with
narrator.
You. And so,
window sign in window.
Yeah. Hello?
Thank you. I hear you. I want everybody to know Davis just got selected as the Father of the Year by one of the major organizations in Prince George's County, Maryland. I want to congratulate you on the air for your accomplishments.
Yeah, well, I thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, and to be recognized by an organization, you know, which is Sister for Sisters, which is a woman's group that works with domestic violence, that appreciates the work that men and fathers do to help the community, is so important, because this work we do has to be collaborative with men and women, and you know, and to help, you know, especially in that domestic violence area, because,
right,
you know, men get abused as well. So I'm just honored. The awards are always great, but I do it because I care and I truly want to make a difference. So, you know, that award goes to all the fathers or all the abused men out there. So that award goes to.
I appreciate that. And I was with Reverend Jerome Lee. He said, we don't need no more awards. We're trying to get a reward so we can put it back into the community. But we appreciate being distinguished as leaders in our own right. I have a news article here that has your picture on it, David, and mine too. It says, Daddy's Home. David Smith leads Father's Rights Effort in Maryland. And there's a picture of 300 fathers on the stage receiving awards from Curtis Valentine, his fatherhood group, and the 100 fathers getting an award. I just want to let people know we're not playing with this fatherhood work. But I want to ask you a question. What, David, does fatherhood mean to you?
So, you know, fatherhood, it means a lot. You know, we all wear many titles, but I have to say father is the most proud title that I wear.
Editing.
And, you know, fatherhood, to be a part of a distinguished group of men and father figures is an honor. And so, you know, being the father of two children, two sons, you know, I'm just so proud to be a part of this brotherhood of men, you know, doing great things for their family. So fatherhood is it means a lot to me.
Thank you for that answer. That comes from your heart. Now I want you to give me three things that you love about being a father.
You know, I love being able to, you know, be there and help and support my children, but I also love learning from them. You know, fathers, you know, we're the, you know, ones that always provide and things like that, but we can also learn things from our children. So I always enjoy learning things from my children. Also, it's just, you know, it just feels good to know, you know, as your kids get older, you know, it's like when they're younger, they're always around and doing things. As they get to teenagers, you know, they want you there, here and there. And then as you get older, they come back around. But, you know, I think, you know, the things that I appreciate is that I know my kids love me. They know I love them, and that, you know, we have a connection and a bond that, that nobody else has.
Tell me this. What are some challenges that you have encountered as a father?
You know, I can go two routes with this. You know, I would say a challenge that I have as being a father is sometimes feel like you don't get it right sometimes, and you just, you know, you want always to have the best for them. And sometimes even when you're giving them the best, sometimes you may feel like, as a father, that you're not, but you always continue to do the best. A big challenge in my life, though, that I did have was going through custody battles for my children, you know, having that. That was a major challenge, but I think in general, it's just, you know, being able to know that you want to provide the best for your children. You know, I lost my father when I was 12 years old, so I knew that I did not want my children do not have the things that I didn't have. And sometimes it's hard as men because we want to give our children everything, but sometimes we can't, and that can be a challenge.
You know, we've had similar outcomes. In my early marriage, I had to try to fight to get my daughter back because the mother had left. Now, that's not to say that it wasn't for good that she left me, but she made me understand how important it was that our children are to us as fathers. And it's a big difference maker when you can be in the life of your child, mold them, hold them, and love them. Wouldn't you say?
I agree 100%. I think engagement and involvement for fathers is so important to their children as well as to their own self. You know, I think that is so important.
So give me one word that describes David Smith Sr.
I would say authentic. And I mean, I have plenty of words, but I would say authentic.
I think that's a good one. Because when people see you, they know that you're connected to this movement, and they see you as a hard worker. And that authenticates what it is that you stand for. So I just wanted to kind of open up the audience to who you are. And now I want to turn this to my next guest, and then I'm going to bring us all together so that we can get the power and synergy of what's going on here. How are you this evening, Dwayne Meeks?
I'm doing well, Mr. Malone. Thank you for having me.
Listen, Dwayne Meeks is the state director for the 100 Fathers in Denver. He also has his own group he'll tell us about. He's an author with Pieces Never Missing. He's a great fatherhood leader. We're looking to do some work out there in Denver with the young men and the fathers there. And I met him with the Fathers and Families Coalition of America with a man named James Rodriguez, one of the giants of the fatherhood movement. And we met in California at a conference. And I was so impressed with his information, his presentation, and his demeanor that we've been connected ever since. I don't know how many years was that, about 10 years ago, maybe seven, huh?
No, you're right, 2011.
Wow, yeah, look at that. Friendship, Jim. So,
yes,
so you have written a book with Judge Arthur Burnett, who was one of our emeritus chairman of the board. I understand he came out to Denver, set you up with the drug coalition, and you've been doing some great work here. Tell us about it. Tell us what you've been doing in Denver.
Wow, it's been an amazing journey, man. And I just want to say that it's been such an honor to have known you, you know, for this long, and have you in my life, actually. You know, and I consider you one of my elders and one of my mentors, if you didn't know it or not. So, you know, I put that tag on you. But in addition, knowing Judge Burnett has just transformed my personal life as well as my work in the community. And yes, mm-hmm. we co-authored a book together called Pieces Never Missing Required in a Child's Life. And
come on.
It's interesting how it came about because I had written the manuscript, and when Judge Burnett and I had co-presented at one of the conferences for Fathers and Families Coalition of America, I showed him the manuscript and asked him would he do the foreword for me, and he said he would. And once he read the manuscript, he said, I would like to help you redo some of the book and like to be your co-author so he can bring his wisdom and knowledge to the book as well. So, of course, I took him up on that, and it's just been an amazing journey. He's one of my mentors. I look up to him, and the book has just taken off and has gotten actually international attention. And
fantastic.
And we were getting it in schools. Yes, man, it's amazing. So I've gotten a lot of speaking engagements, done a lot of training, continuing to do a lot of training in the community of Denver, and it's just been an amazing ride, man. I come from a one parent household. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, and I've been in Denver, Colorado for about 20 years now. And, you know, raised by a single mother who raised three boys in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, one of the roughest neighborhoods
in this country. Out there and, with Reverend Hayes from. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I learned, I think that's where my journey really started. I went to a school called Uhura Sasa School where I learned about Pan-African nationalism. It taught me how to be proudful as an African-American man. It taught me about leadership. It made me a leader, and it taught me how to create leaders in the community. So as growing up and my father not being there, you know, I knew who my father was, but he wasn't a part of my life. I recall a time where I was 32 years old, and my father and I were having a conversation, and I didn't know at the time that he was ill. And it was one of those things where throughout my whole life I was longing for this validation and this attention from him that I didn't realize was missing. And I remember him and I talking in his kitchen. And he walked up to me, and he gave me a kiss on my forehead and said, I love you. And at that moment, it seemed like everything that I had been holding inside, the anger and frustration about him not being involved or being present, had disappeared at that moment. You know,
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for one moment while we turn to the other side and take a look at paying some bills, all right? Give a
Let's
chance for some of our sponsors to speak out.
Okay.
Thank you. Hold that thought.
Good evening, everyone. Here in Washington, D.C., the largest homeless shelter is the Mitch Snyder Shelter. Every Saturday beginning in May 2020, there is a group of advocates who have come every week without failure to provide and support residents of the shelter with wholesome food, clean clothes, and toiletries. Leading the charge is Queen Jennifer Jalencia. She is head of the new royal family, promoting the theme, Together We Can End Homelessness. If you're in the DMV on Saturdays, that's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, feel free to lend a hand, come by 425 2nd Street Northwest, D.C. See the website for the time schedule. The New Royal Family, serving homeless kings and queens with donated items and lots of genuine love. Visit thenewroyalfamily.org to contribute. Please donate financially to Cash App donations to continue to help homeless kings and queens. Cash App at $Jalencia, spelled G-E-L-E-N-C-I-A. If you'd like to phone them, you can call 202-718-6515. Way to go, Jennifer Jalencia and the New Royal Family. And now, back to the show at hand with your radio host, Brother Franklin Malone.
Thank you so very much. What a great message of help and hope for our community. You know, I don't want to miss what you were saying, Dwayne Meeks, about your father, because it's going to lead me to the next question I have for you. Knowing your past and what has brought you to this table of understanding about the power of fatherhood, what does fatherhood mean to you?
Fatherhood means to me is setting an example for your children of what you hope for them to be, and modeling that to them. I believe that fatherhood is unconditional love. It's respect. It's integrity. It's being consistent, and most of all, a lot of times, you know, as men, we don't think about this, but for me, it was being vulnerable and not thinking I need to be perfect and have to be right all the time, that it's okay to make mistakes and to show you
yes.
that it's okay to make mistakes. I believe that whatever you value, you will make time for it. So, you know, my word for fatherhood is value. You know, whatever you
okay.
value, you will make time for it. And you have to judge a thing by the fruit that it bears, not what it talks about. So, you know, for me, learning to be a father when my father was absent has been a challenge for me. But I always said that I don't want my children to go through what I went through. So when I, because my father kissed me, and then 3 months later he passed away, I always say that was my first and last kiss from him.
That's
and
deep.
I made a point that when I had my children that I would shower them with kisses and hugs, my girls and my boys, because I don't ever want them longing for that validation or attention from me. It's always available to them. And believe it or not, now my boys are teenagers, and whenever they see me, they always kiss me on the forehead or on the cheek and say, "I love you, Dad." So I feel like that I've broken this cycle.
That's real love. That's very important. Now, that leads me to the next question. What are three things that you love about being a father? You've told us a couple. What do you love about being a father?
What I love about being a father, it really has to do with me as an individual. I believe that it has made me a better man than I grew up being, because I didn't have the modeling going on, and I had to kind of figure things out for myself. So, you know, I knew I was a good man, you know, but I think once I became a father, I became a better man, and I really took it personal about, you know, whatever it's going to take to raise my children with in a two-parent household, you know, something that I never saw. You know, you see that stuff on TV, but I never really saw it because all the kids, mm-hmm. all my friends came from single-parent households as well. So that was something I always longed for, that my children would have both parents in the house. And I believe that you can't have fatherhood without motherhood either.
Come on, bring it.
And
bring it.
We both bring something to the table, so we have to be careful about what our children are witnessing and what they're hearing, because they love both their parents, and you know they don't separate their love. Both of us bring something to the table, and we have to understand what each of us brings to the table in order to make sure our children are well rounded. You know, and they have all the tools that they need to survive in a world that's, you know, trying to take them out on a daily basis.
Take them out and take us out also, but we're not going to let it happen. Tell me, what is one of your greatest challenges in being a father?
One of my greatest challenges is not to worry. You know, I'm a worrier, and you know, with all the stuff that's happening in our world today with young people, with the violence, that's my major challenge, is not to be stressed, not to worry. I understand that my children came to me, but they don't belong to me. They belong to God, and you know, they just came through my wife and I, but you know, children are looking at what's happening in society, you know, all the way from elementary school right now. And the thing that I'm hearing them say spiritually, when I see young people and I see teenagers out there, is that they're saying, help me live. You know,
we, yes.
They are, you know, I mean, there's so much stuff happening right now. They are trying to live, and they know that there's a process, you know, operating behind the scenes, but they're trying to live. They're trying to find some answers. And we, as parents, we're their first teachers. So who are they going to turn to, their parents or the streets? So
that's,
I got to make sure that my children can hear me even when I'm not there. So with the things that I say to them, something I do is very interesting. I send my kids quotes sometimes. Sometimes I come up with a quote.
I find
a quote. Yeah. And I send it to them because I know, okay, you're on social media and you're texting, and if I'm not able to talk to you, if you're not picking up the phone, I know you're going to look at this text message. So, you know, and then I'll get a response back from one of my, you know, from my sons especially. They respond really quick. So let me just share this with you. One of my oldest son, I sent him a quote a couple of weeks ago, and he texted me back. He says, Dad, I don't know where our family would be without you and your wisdom. Thank you for holding us together for this long and going through what you had to go through in your life to even know where to start to guide us. He said, you have already started to break the cycle. I love you, and forever will I fall behind your rank. In the world of calamity, together we will lead the charge to victory.
Come on.
My 19-year-old son.
That's
he
great.
Me away. I was in tears, you know, when I read his text message. So
that's how I see both of you who are on this right now. You both have an assignment to do this work. You've been given a gift to change the lives of children and families. And I want to talk to you both about our great challenge is bringing fatherhood into the community. I had a conversation with a female who said, I didn't realize fathers were so much involved and in the lives of their children, that there are men out there who are doing what you're talking about, that there's a group of men who are changing the paradigm for children and families. You know, in 2016, Pew Research and the APA did a study of men all around the world, and they concluded that the black father was one of the greatest assets to the family, not because he had the most money, not because he lived in the family, but because
He loved his children and would do just about anything to be a part of their life. That speaks well of the work that we do. But there's not many who would give us that credit. That's why you have the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour on Sister Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people, because we have to tell the truth and let the people know that when you live the truth, that's when you become free. So I want to ask you both about how we bring fatherhood more effectively into the school, the community, and the family. David, what are your thoughts?
So I, through the work that, you mentioned earlier, Curtis Valentine and myself, we co-founded the Fatherhood Forum, where we engage men and fathers in our school to help them be more engaged throughout the school and in the community. And so as you've been honored with awards from the Fatherhood Forum, you saw where we had daddy-daughter dances and we honored 600 men just, for their outstanding father engagement. So, but I really think what we do is we really have to teach them. We have to really put some type of, the same way they do parent engagement, focus on a father engagement curriculum to keeping, dads engaged at the school. Because I know, and when I was, putting my son through school, I was very few fathers to engage with. And that was, my oldest is 22 years old. So, it was limited there. Now we're seeing more and more dads. So I think being able to build that connection between the importance of how dads need to be a role model in the school, not just in the job field, but also in the school and in the community.
That was a momentum builder. The group we had here in D.C., we did the D.C. Dads Care with the Civic Association, and we brought fathers to the school. And we had so many fathers show up, they said, well, where did they all come from? But they showed up because they loved their children. They want to be involved. And it began to turn the clock of time that, hey, school involves not just mom, but mom and dad. Open your doors so we can come in and be a part of that. It's a partnership. Parent means team. What are you thinking about that, Dwayne?
Well, I agree with what you just said. Totally, everything that was just said about the schools getting them engaged, and that's one of the things that we have done successfully as well with bringing fatherhood engagement programs into the school, where we have gotten fathers to volunteer their time at least one day out the school year to come into the school to give teachers support, to support children, and to be a set of additional eyes and ears on the school campus. But I believe that programs addressing integration and mitigation need to definitely get upstream, and we need to, get caught up with the times. I mean, you look at how their images of fatherhood, they're not a whole lot compared to images of motherhood. So we need to show more images of fathers doing fatherly things. There needs to be more programs, more movies depicting fathers in real life situations dealing with challenges. This is not about the Huxtables and that whole thing. We need to show authentic relationships of fathers building relationships with their children and dealing with some of the obstacles and barriers that they have to deal with on a daily basis to be providers. So, what we've done is we've done outreach at the rec center, because men are not like women, where they won't sit in a group in a circle and and talk about what's going on. You know, we meet them where they're at, and at a rec center or a barbershop is, you know, is father friendly, and they come to the rec center to work out anyway. So when we first started our program, we set up shop in a rec center. You know, we didn't have an office space. We said, let's go to where the men, where the fathers hang out, and let's have resources there for them. Invite them in to have a bite to eat, have some pizza or something, and give them some resources and let them know that we're here in the community, and we have their back, and we want to support them, and we want them to be successful. So, you know, that has worked for us.
That does work. And let me tell you something. We had a program at one of the schools here called Ballou High School over in Ward 8. It was a tough one. People didn't want to go there. A lot of times we went there, the police were there. We still went. One of the key things that brought those young men to us so that we could transform their lives was some good food. One time we talked to one of our businesses, said, listen, we got a guy that's got a sandwich shop. He served, these sandwiches cost a lot of money. He gave us a tray, and we took them to the guys. They said, is this for us? We said, yes, but it's not just for you to eat, because we're going to feed your mind too. But they came back the next day and the next day. One time my wife fixed some barbecue chicken, and they were just slurping up the bones. You know what I mean? Once they get a good meal, that's an opportunity to have a connection, and that's what we saw happen. Plus, some were hungry anyway. Many were hungry, but we bring good food so that we can have a good conversation and make a great connection. That's one of the keys a lot of people miss. A lot of people miss that. Thank you for bringing that out. The other thing I wanted to talk about with us was the look of fathers coming into this century, that there are some who would not put a father up, that we don't get the right media coverage. We don't get in the TV where we can show ourselves as being authentic, affirming, and available. And somehow, some people believe the myth that fathers don't care when fathers are, even in the Bible it says, I'm going to let the fathers and the children, I'm going to turn their hearts. That's what God is doing now. COVID has given us an opportunity to get a replay, to do a redo, to make some new things happen. I was reading in the book, said, I will do a new thing. It can't get any more newer than after COVID. Because everything stopped then. So I'm just saying that I'm just honored to be with the two of you because you exemplify what's happening across the nation, fathers and men, stepping up to the plate, going into the challenge, changing the paradigm for our young men. We need the funding. We need the backing. We need somebody to say, hey, if I want to stop the violence, I got to bring the fathers in too. Here's the key. Love, connection, engagement, enlightenment brings empowerment. But if you don't love them, don't mess with them. Now, we're getting towards the end of our show, and I wanted to have a closing statement from the two of you with regards to our subject matter. I just want to say that this is the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour with your host, Frank Malone, on Sister Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. David, give me a closing statement on fatherhood, the undeniable gift.
So, you know, as we approach this Father's Day weekend coming up in another week, fathers are 365 days a year we do this work. So on a quote that I would just leave is I would just say, fatherhood has not returned as we have always been there as we continue to rise higher and set higher expectation, because a father does matter and a father does make a difference in the children's lives. That would be my last statement.
I appreciate that. And Dwayne, how do you see it? What is your closing statement?
Frank, I would say that a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, and unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. I believe that if you want to be a good father, if you want to have a good family, a better life, a healthy life, if you want something, you have to build it. It's not just going to happen and no one else is going to do it for you. If you're a father and you love your family, you're committed, and you value your the development of your family and your children, then you have to build it. But we are here to support you. So my, you know, my statement is build it, man. Build it.
We have to teach it. We have to walk it. We have to talk it. We have to do it. My statement is this, that a father is neither a sail to take us there, nor an anchor to hold us back, but always a guiding light that shows us the way. You know, I happen to be lucky to have my father still with me. My father is 96 years old, wise as can be. And one day somebody came to him and wanted him to do something that was uncanny and not really right. And you know what he told me? He said, son, I have lived my life to have integrity. Why would I do something stupid now? And I think the integrity of all men is something that has to stand out. Women are looking for a good man now, and we as men have to raise the next generation up to be that man, to continue, not to sire children and not get married, not to cuss around our children, but to be an example. But in order to be an example, you got to see an example. That's why our training is so important. I want to also announce that our book will be out, David. Y'all don't know about this. Spoke with the lady that is editing it. And it's a matter of black family lives. It's coming out from the 100 Fathers. And I'm looking for some sponsors. I know I'm going to have the National Action Network to be a part of that. I want statements from the two of you. This book captures about 2 or 3 years of fatherhood work in this region and what can happen, what has happened, and what needs to happen. So I want to announce that. But also on Father's Day, we're bringing up workshops, power sessions, and health sessions, because we also have to remember that fathers and men's health is a major concern. And on Saturday, we're going to have something on prostate health, the number one killer, especially of black men in the DMV. Then on Friday, we'll do something called Systemic Racial Injustice, the Roadmap to Solutions. And then on Sunday, we're going to do a program called The Fathers of the Year. David already got his Father of the Year. I'm happy about that. But both of you are men above men. Continue to lead. Continue to guide. Continue to warn. Right about now, I'm going to take a minute and pay some bills. We'll be back on the other side. Okay.
So, yes, you have another commercial here. Thank you so much, Franklin Malone. Greetings, everyone. On August 19th, 2017, one of the greatest civil rights leaders of our time transitioned, and that is Brother Dick Gregory. From that day to this present day, his life's work, contribution to humanity, his sacrifices in the struggle has stayed up front and alive. This is all due because of his friend and comrade in the struggle, Sister Dr. Ife Williams, who has dedicated her weekly radio show on the Pacifica Network to Baba Dick Gregory. Now, she has taken her efforts to another level with her latest book titled Wake Up and Stay Woke. The book is about the life and legacy of Dick Gregory. Many of us have read and heard many wonderful things about him, but Dr. Ife Williams and Dick Gregory soldiered shoulder to shoulder here in America and even abroad. Her book promises to reveal unknown facts about who we call the father of humanity, Baba Dick Gregory. Call and get her cross-country book signing schedule at 202-554-0159. Dick Gregory lives. Get the new released book titled Wake Up and Stay Woke. Call today, 202-554-0159. And now, it's back to your radio host and mine, the man making the changes and giving us the opportunity to understand fatherhood. It's your radio host, Frank Malone.
Thank you so very much. Boy, Dr. Williams is one of the leaders in this region. I want everybody to get that book. I want to say, as we begin to close this very, very intimate conversation about fatherhood, that the Father is here to stay. We're coming out of Jeremiah 17 and 7. We're saying that we are the tree planted by the living stream of water, whose roots run to that water. And when the drought comes, our leaves remain green. That's a message from God about the father, about the black man, about all fathers, that we have a stake in the lives of our children and families. And we must stand up, walk, step up, speak up, and show up. That's what this show is all about. And I want to make sure that I thank my guests for taking time out of their busy schedules to give us some insight, to feed us some knowledge, and to give us the encouragement that fathers around the nation and around the world can hold on to, that we will do what God has put us here to do. There was Adam and there was Eve. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. We have a work to do. So this is Brother Frank Malone. I'm going to sign off now, but I'm going to say a father is always there. As a matter of fact, if you didn't have a father, you wouldn't even be here. The fathers who are here today that are part of this movement are going to change the world. We're going to change society, but we got to do it by touching one soul at a time, one soul at a time. One child at a time, and encouraging one brother at a time. I was listening to, I just got appointed to a national social justice committee with one of the world's largest men's ministry of the Anglican Communion. And in it, it says, when Jesus walked the earth, he said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me drink? When I was in jail, did you come to visit me?
He said, such as you have done to the least of these, you've also done it unto me. That's what we need to be doing. We need to tend to our fellow man, tend to our family, show up, speak up, and walk up, upright. And then when you walk upright, nobody can ride your back. This is Brother Frank Malone from the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour with Mr. David Smith, the Father of the Year, Prince George's County, and Mr. Dwayne Meeks, the Fatherhood Leader from Denver, Colorado, and the State Director of the 100 Fathers, two great men. May God continue to bless you, watch over you, give you everything you need to continue to walk that walk. This time,
thank you both.
Thanks, Frank. Did you want to give your email addresses? Give us your website so people can catch up with you.
Go ahead, David.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So my website for the Children's Rights Fund is www.childrensrightsfund.org. But the best way to reach me is either by my email, which is dwsmithsr@gmail.com, or my cell phone, 301-974-2508. Again, thank you so much for this time tonight, and it was a pleasure meeting Mr. Meeks and the great work. This goes to show that we are doing stuff across the globe, from the East Coast to the West Coast. So thank you both.
All right, Dwayne, you want to give your email address and your website?
Yes, my website is www.urbancolors.org, and my email address is dmeeks@urbancolors.org. My telephone number is 720-297-4856. Again,
all right.
Thank you. You, Frank, and thank David as well. I've enjoyed this conversation. I hope it resonates with the listeners. And, you know, if you ever need us, we're here.
That's right. That's what fathers have to do, step up and show up. I want to thank my guests, and I want you who are here who are listening to know that the fathers are on the move. We're going to make a difference. We're not going anywhere. That's why the theme this year is fatherhood, the undeniable gift. And this is Frank Malone on the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour, coming to you on Near 2X Radio, the voice of the people, signing off. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Thank you very much.